May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Having a daughter has totally changed my life, as everyone said it would. But there are two particular changes that have struck me. One is the kind of love that I feel for her. People told me I'd never feel a love so strong. And I wrongly thought it would be a doe-eyed, enwrapped kind of love, like a falling in love. But for me, it hasn't really been like that. Rather, I am possessed with a fierce love, like a mother bear. I feel like, in order to protect her, I would rip somebody apart, all 5'3" of me, to keep her safe. It's a love that would drive me to do absolutely anything to keep her from harm. And the other thing that's changed is my attitude towards the human body. Bodies are amazing and miraculous. So are midwives and nurses and doctors. And it goes with the territory to say I'm now completely nonplussed about bodily fluids. Becoming a parent has earthed me. It has made me more conscious of the grit of love and the messy, messy reality of being human. In the gospel reading, there are two daughters. And they give us an insight into how Jesus responds to gritty love and messy lives. The first is Jairus' daughter. We don't know her name, but we do know her dad's, because he's a leader of worship at the synagogue. He comes straight to Jesus through a large crowd and falls at his feet and begs for healing. He is suffering a parent's worst nightmare. His child is dying. Jesus listens to him and agrees to come to Jairus' home. But then there's this woman. She's not described in relation to anybody else. It's only her suffering that's described vividly. She's been with a flow of blood for 12 years. She has suffered much under the care of many doctors. She has spent all her resources. Yet she hasn't benefited. She's only grown worse. And while some of us might be nonplussed about bodily fluids now, it's a luxury born out of familiarity and good medical treatment. This lady is certainly considered impure by the temple. It's hard to know whether that prevented her from being excluded from the synagogue. But what's clear is that she has been exploited by the very people that she went to vulnerable and in need of help. And she's been exploited again and again. She finds herself in poverty. And perhaps it's not too much of a leap to say that this poverty is a symbol of her isolation. She doesn't have friends or a family that she can turn to. There's a poverty of resources and a poverty of relationships, and they often go hand in hand. So, she takes matters into her own hands and she reaches out her fingers to touch Jesus' cloak, her faith focused on the belief that she dare not speak aloud. If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. And she does touch, and she is made well. But she's unable to slink away into the crowd. Jesus notices. He notices the difference made in his life by this exploited, nameless, isolated woman, just as he notices us. But in stopping to find her, he is delaying helping Jairus' daughter. Can you imagine him watching on? Can you feel the agony of that delay? And yet Jesus doesn't rush. Instead, he searches out the woman and listens to her story, not a part of it, but the whole truth. He gives her dignity and commends her with the words, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." In this time, Jairus' daughter has died. And Jairus wonders whether he should follow the advice he's been given and stop troubling the teacher. But Jesus doesn't see our troubles as too troubling for him. "Do not fear, only believe." And he raises her to life. Jesus responds to the grit of love, to a parent begging for their child's healing. And he tenderly cares for somebody who, through no fault of her own, has been suffering with a messy, chronic illness. He heals them, both of them. He cares for all of us and all parts of us. There is no shame here. In all the grit and all the mess, Jesus earths God's love. And we're to love following his example. For Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from death to life. But on the way, he raises a forgotten daughter from death to life. One had lived for 12 years, one had suffered for 12 years. One had somebody to advocate for her, one had nobody else. But Jesus calls this nameless, forgotten woman daughter. "If you have no family," he says, "be part of mine." And it's only when the outcast woman is restored to daughterhood that the daughter of Jairus can be restored to life. Faith in Jesus unites our stories. We become connected to the Lord, to the big story of the Bible: creation, crisis, covenant, Christ and church. And we become connected to one another through our faith. But it means we have responsibilities towards each other. In the epistle that Simon read for us, Paul is trying to say this very carefully to the Corinthians. There's been tension between the two of them, and Paul is concerned that in this conflict, the wealthy Corinthians have chosen to stop giving money to the needy church in Jerusalem. And so he reminds them of the gospel. "For you know the generous act of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." We are enacting the grace of God when we share with those who can't bless us in the same way. Then our love stops being transactional and starts being full of grace. when we look beyond our abundance and what we can gain, and instead look to the needs of others. Privilege can cut us off from other people, but faith in Jesus calls us to see other people for what they are truly worth in God's kingdom: sons, daughters. We might find it easier to relate to Jairus than the unnamed woman. Most of us, after all, live comfortable lives, though it doesn't protect us from suffering and trauma. But if we are like Jairus, then let us do as he does. Let us pray. Let us advocate for those who do not have a voice. Let us lift up our voices and petition Jesus, trusting that he hears our prayers. And let us remember that we are one with the outsider when we come into the presence of Jesus. May our prayers be full of a gritty kind of love. As Jairus intercedes for his daughter, so may we intercede for the broken and dying in the world, in the hope of resurrection. May our prayers be a way of entering more deeply into the messiness of being human, and so into the glory of the gospel, where Jesus became like us in order to liberate us. And may our prayers lead us to action, to live out the grace that has been given to us, and to share more deeply the truth that all are invited to come to Jesus, to receive his healing, and to hear him say, "Son, daughter." Amen.